Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks again for listening today, everybody. The Olympics in Sochi begin next week, and there is ongoing concern about security from terrorism. But the U.S. and Russia can't seem to get fully together on how to prevent it. Russia won't share all the intelligence information that the U.S. is asking for. The U.S. won't share all the anti-terror technology that Russia is asking for. Let's talk about the pre-Olympic collision of terrorism fears, spy versus spy gamesmanship, and the Edward Snowden factor with Ian Bremmer, World Affairs Advisor to Investors, President of the Eurasia Group. Hi, Ian. Welcome back to WNYC.
Howdy, Brian. Good to be with you.
First, are you calculating how serious you think the threat of terrorism is? Are you gathering the data and trying to, you know, come up with your own conclusions on just how likely it is that somebody's going to try something?
You can't put a percentage on this sort of thing, but certainly every client we have that has, you know, sort of branding and people there and sponsorship, exposure to the Russian government as a consequence of that, very concerned about this, vastly more than any Olympics we've ever worked with. We have a known terrorist organization in the North Caucasus that has directly said that they are targeting the Olympics. We have suspected terrorists that are presently at large in Sochi. The Russian government has been circulating photographs, alleged photographs, and saying, have you seen these people? And we've also had a couple of significant bombs recently in nearby Volgograd. So, I mean, no one's going to be surprised if there are incidents in Russia. The question, while the Olympics are on, the question will be, will there be incidents in Sochi? And that's, you know, never mind the fact that you have a significant civil unrest brewing next door in Ukraine.
Listeners, anything you want to say or ask about security, U.S.-Russia cooperation regarding the Sochi Games, and the Edward Snowden factor. Remember, he's got asylum in Russia, and at the same time that all this is going on in advance of the Games, there's a new kind of negotiation starting to take place for a potential plea bargain for Edward Snowden. Wonder if there's going to be any expression of that directly or indirectly by him during the Games, but call us up on any of that, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group. So on the gamesmanship, that the little that I know about it, I'm finding frustrating between the U.S. and Russia. Here is Congressman Peter King in an exchange with ABC's Jonathan Carl yesterday and or Sunday. And here's a spoiler on this clip. King criticizes Russia for refusing to share intelligence about terrorists with the U.S. for fear that they'll give away secrets and will use them against Russia. And then he defends the U.S. refusal to share our anti-terror technology with Russia. Why? Out of fear that we'll give away secrets that will be used against us. Here it is.
Technology is different from sharing information because usually intelligence is a mosaic. You get bits and pieces from different countries and you piece it together. The Russians don't want to share what they have because they're afraid that that will enable us to learn how they obtain their intelligence and we'll use it against them in the future. As far as using technology, I don't want to get into that as to what our policy is, but I can understand why people in our government would be reluctant to share a very sophisticated piece of technology which could be used against us in the future.
And I found that clip astounding, Ian, because in that 1 20-second bite, he acknowledged that both sides have the exact same concern, fear that their secrets will get out and be used against them. But he sided with the United States' concern as being legitimate and didn't seem to get that there was a kind of double standard there. How stuck do you think the U.S. and Russia are? Can't they make a deal of sharing intelligence for sharing technology and help protect all the athletes and spectators?
Yeah, no, they can't. And I—that's you've got a conundrum there in that quote. There's no question. I suppose that King would say he might not admit it, but I think what's behind that hypocrisy is the notion that he just fundamentally believes that Russia, American standards and technology are much better, much more, you know, more sophisticated, superior, and so therefore we're giving away the store, which the Russians wouldn't be if they were cooperating with us. Now, to be fair,
or he might also think, and again, it's a little unfair to speculate. But I think perhaps underlying that was we're good and they're bad. So we have a moral ground to protect our secrets on, and Putin doesn't in the same way. So,
sure. I suspect that that's a piece of it as well. But you remember, we had the Olympics in Athens, and the Greek government understood that there were significant security concerns. They also knew they couldn't do this stuff themselves. And they basically opened the doors. They cooperated fully with the Europeans, the Americans. They accepted roughly €1 billion in direct and in-kind security contributions from the Americans in Europe. And Greece went off without a hitch, and the Americans felt very comfortable about the security situation there. The Russians absolutely believe that they've got this covered. They don't need help. It's a matter of, you know, personal pride for Putin and national pride for the Russians. And so I think even if the Americans were willing to cooperate significantly on this, we probably wouldn't get very far. The fact that there's no mutual trust between both sides just makes it harder. But it's way too late to be asking ourselves this question now, a week before these things start.
Any indication that Russia will roll out Snowden at any point during the Olympics for a little propaganda coup, or that Snowden will make a voluntary appearance? Putin says Snowden is free to travel to the Games as an individual like any other asylee.
Yeah, I mean, well, he hasn't been traveling much recently, so, I mean, just to get out and stretch his legs, I suppose if I were him, I'd want to do it. Putin clearly enjoys having him there, and the very fact, as you intimated at the beginning, that there have been some discussions of the possibility of some sort of plea bargain, I don't think it's going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen before the Olympics. There's still much more information coming out, and not all from Snowden. Some of the stuff he's given to Greenwald and others that's playing out and damaging the U.S. just the last 24 hours. Claims of industrial espionage the U.S. is doing against companies like Siemens, for example, he talked about just yesterday. But I wouldn't be surprised, given that international sentiment towards Snowden has been improving of late, even in the U.S., that Putin wouldn't mind using him. That might be at the Olympics. It might be a big press conference while the Olympics are going on. Remember, Putin's the guy that, after the Syria deal was cut, he wrote the most popular op-ed in the New York Times by views all year long, basically a victory lap for the American public. So don't underestimate the willingness of Putin to show just personal bravado in association with every card he can play.
Of course, Snowden is wanted on espionage charges here, as you know. So could U.S. agents just arrest him if they see him at the games?
No. The level of international incident that would be caused by that would be extraordinary. I think the Americans are going to try that. They're not sending a high-level delegation. They are sending some prominent gay American athletes to show the flag and their colors, stick it to the Russians. A lot of countries will do that. But generally speaking, the politics are going to be made from the United States. They're not going to be made on the ground with that kind of bravado.
Listeners, anything on the Russian Olympics and security and cooperation and Snowden? 212-433-WNYC for Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group. 212-433-9692. Of course, if there really is a plea bargain possible now, it's kind of tricky for Snowden to come out and do anything political, especially when we have Mike Rogers, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, saying that he wonders if Snowden is actually a Russian spy and was working with the aid of the Russians all along, Russia, where he wound up getting asylum. I don't know that there's any evidence to back that up, that he or anyone else has cited. A lot of people poo-poo that theory, but he's put that meme out there. So if Snowden pops up in Russia at the Olympics and starts mouthing off about, you know, U.S. Privacy and the NSA and stuff like that, may not help his cause if he's trying to strike a plea bargain with Eric Holder, right?
Look, I think if he was trying to help his cause, there were 20,000 things we could come up with that he shouldn't have done from the day he got onto a plane to Hong Kong, again, including a press conference just the other day going after U.S. quote-unquote industrial espionage against Siemens and other countries. So I don't think that's an issue. I think if he makes a statement, he shows up, and so she's going to do that.
Well, it wasn't a press conference exactly, but he did do an interview with German radio. I think that was the context. So Attorney General Eric Holder suggested for the first time the other day that the U.S. might consider a plea bargain. Listen.
The notion of clemency, no harm, no foul, I think that would be going too far. But in the resolution of this matter, with an acceptance of responsibility, we would always, engage in those kinds of conversations.
So Eric Holder, not clemency, but a guilty plea to something. He would always engage in those kinds of conversations. Snowden's legal team said yes, they would negotiate. Jesselyn Radack, representing him, was on All Things Considered on Sunday and said yes, but former Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff suggested on Meet the Press Sunday that it could take a very long prison term to strike a deal with him. Listen to Chertoff.
If he decides he wants to come back, if he decides he wants to tell the U.S. government everything that he stole, which is important, he might be able to bargain for some kind of a reduced sentence. But again, going back to the Hansen case, I don't think we're talking about amnesty. We'd be talking about maybe life in prison, maybe 30 years, maybe 25 years, but not something that would be a slap on the wrist.
He even mentioned life in prison, Ian, and of course there have been spy cases, and Chertoff was trying to make the case that Snowden is a spy, something that Snowden certainly would reject and I'm sure would not be part of any plea agreement accepting that label. But in some spy cases where the penalty might have actually been death if somebody was officially legally convicted as a traitor, people have actually plea bargained down to life in prison. But then he threw out 30 years. I don't know. Snowden is just 30 years old. Or another way to look at it is he's already 30 years old. Would he take a plea agreement that would keep him in prison till age 55 or 60? I don't know that that would bring him back. But what do you make of Michael Chertoff going on national television, representing who exactly, I'm not sure, and throwing that number out there?
Well, I mean, he has a consulting firm now, and, it's good for him to be out there and talking these issues because he's still relevant on Homeland Security, but not representing anyone other than himself. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly, far be it from me to say that, obviously. But when I think about how long what's happening with Snowden, the longer he's been out there, the more he's been able to, because he has so much information, he's been able to build a name for himself. He's been able to build credibility. President Obama's had to respond to it, gave a speech on this. There's been a ability to move the needle on what the U.S. is and isn't going to do in terms of surveillance in the United States and on its allies. That's given him credibility. A deal that he's going to get today, from his perspective, is going to be a lot worse than any potential deal he'll get in 6 months or a year. So this is not going to move quickly. It's certainly not going to play. That's not going to play, in my view, during the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I will say, I'd be loath not to mention the Ukraine issue. That if there's one thing that could really go boom, aside from some horrific terrorist activity, it's the fact that we are not so far from civil war in Ukraine. And, there have been reports of plainclothes special forces from Russia arriving in reasonably large numbers in Kiev to support a very embattled President Yanukovych, who's already used violence against his people. There are all sorts of demonstrations and occupations of different city halls and local governments across many regions of Ukraine. Crimea is a Russian, potentially secessionist republic in Ukraine. What happens if this place just explodes while the Olympics are happening?
What does happen? I mean, of course, in its own right, it's dangerous for a lot of people there, and it's a big thing. But does it wind up threatening the safety of people at the games if something happens in Ukraine simultaneously?
No, it's not that. It's more a question of the focus on Russia. This is Putin's decision. Ukraine is in the mess it's presently in because it was manipulated by the Russians. He was the one, the Russians were the ones that shut off the gas, that shut off exports, that, you know, sort of set, told them no money's coming unless you give up on Europe. They give up on Europe. Putin personally gets them $15 billion and takes it out of the Russian pension system. And now the Ukrainians are up in arms demonstrating, and the Putin has blamed it in part on international interference on the West. This has the potential to get really ugly, and really ugly for Putin at the same time his country is hosting the Olympics. If you remember, Putin, we had tanks invading Georgia while another Olympics were going on in Beijing, and a very uncomfortable moment between Putin and then President Bush, right, when they were talking about that, sitting next to each other. Putin certainly does not want to send tanks into another country while he's sitting in his, hosting his own Olympics. But we're not far from asking questions about that.
212-433-WNYC. And Benny in Clark, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Benny.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to comment on Representative King's comments on the intelligence versus technology.
Yes, U.S. not wanting to share intelligence technology with the Russians that could help prevent terrorism at the game. The Russians not wanting to share intelligence information with us. Go ahead.
Correct. While Representative King may not have been very eloquent, I think there's a serious distinction between the two. Intelligence has a time date, has an expiration date. Certain people meeting, certain people traveling between countries. Once the Olympics is over, their threat to the Olympics is gone. However, them wanting to know how we acquire the intelligence, our technology, that's a technique that's used over and over again. It has a little more permanence to it. I think they should be satisfied with us basically just sharing intelligence. But the Russians seem to want to go a little far, and they want the technology behind it, which is really apples and oranges compared with us getting some time-sensitive intelligence from the Russians.
I understand. Benny, thank you very much for that. And I don't know if it's out of your portfolio of expertise, Ian, to know what kind of technology we're talking about here. I don't know if this is a perfect analogy or not, but when President Reagan launched or proposed the Star Wars program, right, the missile shield that was so controversial back when he was president, he offered to share it with the Russians. He said, I'm going to share this technology with you. I don't want any country to be susceptible to a nuclear attack from space. So the U.S. is going to build it, and we'll share it with you. And, of course, there was politics behind that, too. But there was an overt offer of technology sharing with the Russians for the sake of everybody's safety. So do you happen to know what this is that as Benny sees it, would give the Russians something more permanent in terms of infrastructure that we wouldn't want them to have?
Look, of course there are techniques, and there's also, I mean, even if you're not providing techniques, the very fact of sharing just real-time intelligence is giving you a sense of how people collect intelligence, what they're focused on, you know, all of those sorts of things, which create surprises that can give you insights on tradecraft. That's a reason why Snowden's in Russia today, is because the Russians really want that information. They don't have it. But the fundamental issue is that there is an utter lack of trust, right? I mean, yes, there were politics behind Reagan's statement, but there was also the fact that neither the Soviets at that point nor the Americans, you know, sort of really believed that that offer could go anywhere. And that's unfortunately, you would think that 20 years after the Soviet Union had collapsed, that we would have gotten, you know, we would have been able to build some trust between these two countries. The fact is we haven't, not one whit. In many ways, the American relationship with the Soviet Union under Gorbachev was warmer and more trusting after 88, when he really started perestroika in earnest, than it is today. And that's really unfortunate. And that creates the kind of atmosphere in 2014 around Sochi with the geopolitical intrigue, concerns, backbiting, lack of trust that we haven't seen in the Olympics since the last time one was held in this part of the world, in Moscow back in 1980.
When the U.S. actually boycotted during the Carter administration. So let's end on this. Because of the terrorism fears of both countries around Sochi, is that not a substantial opportunity for mutual interests to come back to the fore? And to some degree, the two countries are afraid of terrorism by the same people. Witness who did what and what their background was at the Boston Marathon.
And generally speaking, the level of back and forth sharing of data on individuals from the North Caucasus that are seen to be involved in terrorism has been reasonably transparent. But frankly, because those guys historically have not posed much of a threat to the U.S., the U.S. hasn't spent a lot of time, nor do they have an enormous amount of resources on the North Caucasus. So when the Russians say they want help, it's not that they are asking the Americans, hey, how do you track these guys? Do you have any information? Generally speaking, the Americans aren't good at that. What they're really asking, if they were to ask something, would be, can you help us on the ground? Can you actually real-time provide support to ensure that nobody gets through? That does have more to do with the tradecraft that your caller asked about, and that's precisely an issue the Russians won't ask for help on because they're too proud, and the Americans won't provide it because we're too sensitive of losing that capacity.
Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, black stats, African Americans by the numbers in the 21st century, and then a remembrance of Pete Seeger, including your calls, and you can post your eulogies for Pete Seeger to our website right now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll replay a little part of an interview that I did with him just a couple of years ago here on the show, and we'll hear some music. We'll talk about Pete Seeger coming up. But first, black stats, African Americans by the numbers in the 21st century.